columnist for the Register Guard. Find his work in the sports section or online at registerguard.com. On Twitter, keep up. The handle's at Austin Meek RG. Austin Meek with his Tuesday check-in. How you doing?
Hey, Steve. I'm doing good. How are you?
All right. When I was talking with Ryan Thorburn last week, some football, I every once in a while with you guys, I need to do a little timeline. I know he got here prior to the 2014 football season. When George left to take the gig at the time for Sports Illustrated and you came to Eugene, when was that?
I came to Eugene in October of 2013, so it was early in Mark Helfrich's first season, which is, you're like me, you measure time in football season.
Oh, yeah. Do you think you're preaching to the choir on that one? I talk to people and like, how do you remember that? I was like, well, that was the year Reggie went to the Yankees, and they just were like, never mind, we're sorry we asked.
I hear you.
So one general question. We three in this studio are kind of obsessing over the World Cup, and you know, we're 2 days away from knowing who makes it to the knockout round, I guess the soccer version of the Sweet 16. I know you've been like, are you any more engaged, or maybe when it gets down to a final or a Final Four, have you checked out much of this?
Steve, at some point you should make like a greatest hits compilation of you asking me about sports and me saying, I haven't really been following that one, because I'm admittedly not a very good sports fan at times. So the World Cup is kind of right there with the NHL playoffs for me. I am aware that it's happening. People are talking about it. I overhear conversations, but it's just totally over my head. I'm ashamed to admit that. I'm often embarrassed when I come on your show to admit all the things that I'm not following, but that is one of them.
Yeah, but I think it would be more of a professional detriment if you were a reporter. You're a columnist. Your job is more to go out and find interesting stories, not just talk about what everybody's talking about. Is that let you off the hook enough?
I'll take that, yeah. I like that. I'm going to start using that.
There you go.
You're right. I mean, obviously, I'm kind of in my own little world here, and University of Oregon, 24/7, you know, there's not often a lot of space in my brain for other things, which is a function both of everything that's going on and also the capacity of my brain, which is not very big.
You know, good one. You had a take on Oregon State in this College World Series in yesterday's paper that I thought was really interesting. So obviously, there are those who are not watching for various reasons. You stated the obvious that, you know, they are actually playing. And as, like I said, someone who's always looking for a unique angle, this actually is a really unique story, right?
It is. And, you know, in that column on Monday, I basically wrote that even though I'm still really conflicted about the whole Luke Heimlich situation, man, it's hard not to admire this Oregon State team. They're just so fun to watch. They play hard, they're tough, they're unselfish. You know, it's kind of a cliche, but they really do play the game the right way, and I find myself rooting for them, you know, not as a fan, but just in the sense that, you know, certain teams are really compelling and fun to watch, and I found this Oregon State team to be one of those. I really find myself pulling for them. And, you know, it was kind of weird to get the reaction from a lot of Oregon State fans, because the next day my email was full of emails from Oregon State fans saying, you know, why are you always picking on us? Why do you have to bring up the Heimlich thing again? And I was kind of taken aback by it, because, like, you know, hey, I'm trying to tell you guys, I really like your team. I really genuinely do, and I really hope Oregon State wins the College World Series. But still, you know, I'm conflicted, like a lot of people.
Yeah. Austin Meek of the Register Guard joining us, and I guess you can call Heimlich the elephant in the locker room. And, you know, just the last two amateur drafts. In 2017, there were 1,215 players drafted. 2 weeks ago, 1,214. None were Heimlich. And you being a Royals fan, so word kind of leaked out that they might be considering signing him. What are your thoughts on that?
Whew, boy. I guess I got what was coming to me, right? Because I remember having this conversation with you after the draft and saying, look, I'm glad that my team didn't draft
right.
him, because I just wouldn't want to be in that position as a fan to have to decide how to feel about that. And so now, of course, it's my team that's talking about signing them. That's how it works. I had that coming. You know, the more I talk to people and the more I think about this, the less convinced I am of anything. And look, I've said, if it was me, if I was the general manager, I probably wouldn't sign him. I don't think that I would want to invite that scrutiny and that controversy onto my organization. But, you know, if the Royals do sign him, Dayton Moore, the general manager there, you know, I've followed him for as long as he's been in Kansas City. And I do think that he is a man of integrity, and I do think he cares about doing the right thing. So he has the benefit of the doubt, at least from me. And I'm sure there's people listening to this right now saying, "Ah, it's just a Royals fan talking." And maybe it is. Maybe that's absolutely what's happening here. But if Luke Heimlich does get signed by the Royals, I think they at least would be doing it for the right reason, which is that they don't want to just throw this guy away, and they think that he should have an opportunity to pursue his goals and to have a productive life. Now, you know what I'd say? You want him to have a productive life? Give him a job. Make him a scout. Give him a job in your organization. A lot of people would love to go to work for a Major League Baseball organization right out of college.
Sure.
Be a great living, but he wouldn't be under the spotlight of being a prospect in your organization and having to go out there on the mound and pitch.
Oof, interesting take. So I want to get to Hayward Field. Interesting to see the demolition kind of in real time. So Sunday you wrote about a man named Bill McChesney. Is that the correct pronunciation?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
He's 90. He's a runner, a meat official. He's got the huge Hayward ties, and the family's got big-time connections to track and field. So for those who missed, what could you tell us, I guess, about the tale of the plaque and the tree?
Yeah, so the McChesney family, it's a familiar name for a lot of people in Eugene because their whole family is so connected to running and track and field. You mentioned Bill. He's one of those guys who's just been around a long time. I talked to him several years ago for a column because even at like age 86, he was still running the Butte to Butte every year. He was always out there. It's kind of a really respected, well-known figure in Eugene, and his sons. He had four sons, and three of them ran at the University of Oregon, and two of them, tragically, were killed in traffic accidents, including Billy McChesney, who was the most accomplished runner of the bunch, qualified for the Olympic team in 1980, still holds the Oregon school record in the 5,000 meters. And so after he was killed, there was a memorial established for him outside of Hayward Field, a tree that was planted and a plaque that was put out there to remember him. And so it's just another example of one of those little details that seemed to kind of fall through the cracks with the Hayward Field project, where all of a sudden the family is concerned what's going to happen to this memorial when the stadium gets torn down, and we still don't really know. Yet another example within this Hayward Field process of something that could have been anticipated and dealt with ahead of time, and I think handled to everybody's satisfaction, but it just didn't get done, and now you've got another one of kind of Eugene's iconic track and field families who's feeling a little bit alienated by this Hayward Field process.
Yeah, when I know in sports now, everything is talked about the process, the 76ers. But and I know that probably could be a show unto itself, how this whole thing was handled. But I wanted to move to this interesting campaign to sell football tickets for a season. And from what I can determine, what Oregon is trying has never happened. They want to lure younger fans, and they're discounting tickets depending on your age from 18 to 30. I guess for the rest of us, it's, hey, what's so special about them? But what do you think about reaching out to the younger demo, which, you know, is actually common in a lot of businesses?
Yeah, those darn millennials. Maybe we ought to try it in the newspaper business. You know, we need the young subscribers just as much as a football team needs the kids to buy tickets. So we ought to run one of those specials to sign up for the newspaper. I don't know. I guess I give them credit for some kind of interesting marketing there, because I think they're looking at the same trends that a lot of people are in a lot of industries. They're looking at the fact that the people who buy tickets to sporting events, the younger generation just doesn't place as much value on being there, being in the stands. You know, the generation that grew up with every game on TV and social media, and you know, you follow the game on Twitter, and you watch on TV, and you got the second screen thing going, and it's different than the generation that grew up, you know, basically with feeling like you had to be there to get this experience inside the stadium. There was nothing that could match it. It's just different now. So I'll give them some credit for being kind of creative with this, and I'm curious to see what happens.
No, it'll be interesting. And for folks, you could just go on the Go Ducks site and check out the prices and the discounts. It's really fascinating. A couple final thoughts for Austin Meek. The news hit fast yesterday. Mike White out, heading for Texas to be their softball coach. I mean, here, they've got a remarkable, new, incredible facility. They've been recruiting out of their minds. They just made it back to the World Series. So I guess first, your level of surprise when you heard, oh, by the way, Mike White's not the coach of the Ducks anymore.
You know, we had been hearing some rumblings on that, and I'll give credit to colleague Ryan Thorburn for breaking that story. And in fact, he had something last week suggesting that it was a possibility. I was very surprised that Oregon let it get to that point. I just thought with the success that Mike White had here and the program he'd built and the good thing that they had going, when push came to shove, Oregon would do what it needed to do to keep Mike White here. And I think it's, you know, I think this is one that could reverberate a little bit, you know, because I think there's probably some coaches at Oregon that are looking at that and saying, man, if they could let Mike White walk, they could let anybody walk, because he's been as successful pretty much as anybody at Oregon the last few years, and you know, was one of the stars of Oregon's coaching circle. So I was really surprised by it. I don't know where they're going to go, and I don't know if they're, you know, what they're willing to pay, if they're going to be able to get a coach who's going to keep the program at the level it was at. It's just a really surprising thing based on all the success they'd had.
Yeah, so if he was actually operating on, I think it was 6 years, 1.4 mil, so a little over 200 grand a year, and they actually tripled his salary or more at Texas, I mean, they're a monster athletic department. They took in, I think, last read, $183 million in revenue, Oregon about 106, and I've heard from some angry fans, but is there any logic to, can the Ducks even play at that level? And not to be cold, but for a sport like softball, which is not a revenue generator, to pay $700,000-$800,000 a year?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm actually writing about that for tomorrow. You know, there are just some numbers that came out today looking at the revenue distribution among the major conferences. And the Pac-12 just continues to fall further behind. The gap is something like $17 million between the Pac-12 and the Big Ten. So it becomes a question of, if the market is being set by these schools and these conferences that are making significantly more revenue than the Pac-12, then how do you possibly keep up, especially when the Pac-12 really has really puts more emphasis on non-revenue sports than any other conference in the country?
Oh, sure.
When you look at those Director's Cup standings that measure overall department-wide performance, it's not a coincidence that Pac-12 schools are always at the top of that. And it's not because they're so great in football and men's basketball. It's because they're good at everything. They're good at swimming. They're good at track and field. They're good at softball. That's really part of the culture on the West Coast and in the Pac-12. So it's, to me, a really interesting question. What happens to that culture if the Pac-12 continues to fall further behind? Because when these other conferences are making so much more money, then they can always come in and offer more money for your softball coach or your track coach or your swimming coach or whatever. So are we starting to see the end of the days when a school like Oregon could be good at everything, could pay a football coach and pay a softball coach? I don't know. I'm not going to make that leap just based on Mike White, but I do think it's a really interesting thing to watch going forward.
Well, I'm definitely looking forward to that because the whole business aspect and keeping up with the Joneses or keeping up with the Big Tenses is always pretty fascinating. Folks, that would be Austin Meek of the Register Guard online, registerguard.com. If you're younger, please subscribe to the paper on Twitter at Austin Meek RG. Austin, always a pleasure. Have a good one. We'll talk soon.
All right. Thanks for the great marketing idea, Steve.
Take it easy.